Today we're going to learn from Jeremiah, not my son, but the book of Jeremiah. So would you turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 1, please? As with all of Scripture, in case you're not aware of this, Scripture is alive. It's relevant. It is applicable to our lives today. And I experienced this yet again as I learned something new from this passage of Jeremiah that I have read many times. And I love it when this happens. It tells me God's word is powerful. Make no mistake about it, it's powerful. And I challenge you, read it often. I've discovered that many people who have accepted Christ as their Savior do not read the Bible very often. And that, to me, is very counterproductive. How can you maintain a relationship with Jesus Christ if you don't read His words to you? Now, my sermon today isn't about studying the Bible, but I can't stress this enough. And I'm not saying this to point fingers or to be critical. Just ask yourself, do I read the Bible? Do I read it enough? I don't think any of us could read it enough. Do you understand or try to understand what you're reading? Do you meditate? Do you study? Do you follow the guidance that you find there? The Bible is alive, and if you read it and obey it, you'll find that you can be quite alive as well. So today I want to speak on serving the Lord and making a difference in our world, and what Brian said there about the children in America that kind of sparked that again in my heart. We're living in dark times. We really are. Seems to be growing. There's evil in every corner, and it just seems to be getting worse and worse. Over the last two Wednesday nights, we watched a sermon by Ken Ham talking about how secularists are stealing our culture, stealing our younger generation. And it's very disturbing. And someone asked, well, what are we going to do about that? Or how can we do something? How can we make a difference? And I would be foolish if I was to stand up here and say that I thought we could fix the problem, because I really don't think we'll fix the problem. Granted, God can do amazing and wonderful things, but we're told in Scripture that perilous times will come. We're told that's going to happen. We shouldn't be surprised that it's happening. So while I don't think we'll reverse what's going on and change the whole trend, I do believe strongly that we can make a difference in someone's or maybe several lives. And each of us as Christians are called to do that, to make a difference in someone's life and be a witness. If we look at the future as this overwhelming, well, I can't make any difference, so I'm just going to crawl in my hole, that's not the right way to approach it. No, I can't make a difference in everyone, but I can make a difference in one or two. So can we ask God to use us here and there to make a difference in somebody's life? And I feel like Jeremiah, the prophet, might have been facing some of these same emotions because he was dealing with some dark times too. So I'd like to take this entire first chapter of Jeremiah and study through it today and see what we can learn from Jeremiah's call from God. And I'm going to work our way through the passage. I'm not going to read it all at once just because of, as it's take too much time, and we're going to go back and study it again anyhow. And I will tell you, this passage in Jeremiah, the first chapter, is a very special one to me. It's the passage the Lord showed me when I was struggling with His call in my life in my early 20s. But do you know that in all the times that I read this passage and found encouragement from it, there was one thing that I never picked up on that I found this time. So let's read verses 1 through 3. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, the priest, of the priests who were at Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah the king of Ammon, the king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Jeremiah was one of the priests of Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. Anathoth was about 3 miles north of Jerusalem. Jeremiah's father was a priest, so by right and by tradition, Jeremiah was set up to be one too, but God had different plans for him. Priests and prophets differed in that time. And listen to this. A priest represented the people to God, but a prophet represented God to the people. A priest's work followed a set routine, but a prophet never knew what he was doing next. His job was very unpredictable. A priest had a regular salary, but a prophet never did. He didn't know where his support was coming from. A priest was interested in ceremony, while a prophet dealt with convictions. A priest comforted the people, while a prophet confronted the people. See, it's important to know this background if you were to get a full picture of what's taking place in these first couple verses of this chapter. Like I said, it's something I never picked up on. I just read over the details and they just never popped at me. And then I was reading in one study Bible, oh wow, that is really neat. Jeremiah likely thought that he was headed into this comfortable role as a priest and he knew what he was going to be doing, but God called him into something totally different. Listen to what God said to Jeremiah in verses 4 and 5. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. God is telling Jeremiah, before he was born, he had a plan for his life. Do you hear those words from the Lord to Jeremiah? They're powerful, and they apply to all of us. Before each one of us were formed in our mother's womb, God knew who we were, and he had a plan for each one of us. And what this means to me is that God Almighty created us and placed us in our mother's womb. It's supernatural. It's amazing. Yes, the reproductive system that are in our bodies and the human bodies, it does all the work, but make no mistake, God created it. So everyone that is created in the womb is created by God, and he has a plan for each one of us. Do you realize God has a plan for you? No matter how old or how young? Some of you may have discovered that, some of you may not. But God has a plan for each one of us. The primary goal and calling God has for each one of us is to be a child of his. And I hope you've discovered that one. Now I want you to stop and think about this for a minute. It is said that since the abortion industry got started, there has been 40 billion abortions. Now, that's not a number we can wrap our heads around. Just saying that makes my skin crawl. It is without a doubt the greatest social tragedy in American history. So what is happening when each one of these precious lives is snuffed out? God's plan for their life on earth is stopped. What would have happened if D.L. Moody or Billy Graham would have been aborted? I'm saying that each one of us is important to God. He has a plan for you, he has a plan for me, and he knew that plan before we were even born. Don't ever forget it. But here's where it gets interesting. Notice what the Lord said to Jeremiah, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah was to be a priest. And God said, no, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. I have a different plan for you. I never picked up on this before. But it's really cool how God gave Jeremiah a specific calling. No, you're not going to be a priest. You're going to be a prophet. And Jeremiah knew what that meant. He knew he'd be facing hostile crowds. He knew he'd be preaching conviction and confronting people rather than happy messages. And what did Jeremiah say in verse 6? Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. I like Jeremiah's honesty. It shows he's no different than anyone else. He was afraid. And this is where the Lord gave me this same promise personally. I was deathly afraid to get in front of people and speak. I know that's hard to believe now, but I was. I'll never forget the first time I got up as 14-year-old to lead singing for our one service. My legs were shaking so bad, it was absolutely ridiculous. It was the most awful experience of me. Don't I want to be up front ever again. And God called me to preach. And I'm just as comfortable up here now as I am sitting down there in that pew, honestly. And God gave me that promise. But in the Lord's reassurance to Jeremiah, he gave me the reassurance as well. And what the Lord told Jeremiah is awesome. And that promise that Jeremiah spoke to me so clearly, don't tell me the word of God isn't alive, it's not relevant to where we're at right now. Look with me at verses 7 through 10. And I truly was a youth at that time. I was. I feel like I've ceased to be quite as youthful as I was then, but I was a youth then. Verse 7, the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and pull down, to destroy and throw down, to build and to plant. What an encouragement that was to me. What powerful words. And I know, like this phrase says, do not be afraid of their faces. I know most of you think that you're not scary people. But I want to tell you, the first time I came to preach here, that was pretty scary. And Brian wasn't even here then. I don't know if you're sure what you're dealing with today. But we can learn from Jeremiah that feeling inadequate, feeling fearful, is okay. Because that's when God can really use us. Can we recognize that God had a plan for us even before we were conceived? And then we need to ask God, would you show that plan to me? Another thing I noticed here is that Jeremiah was set up to do a difficult job. The Lord told him in verse 10 he was going to root out, pull down, destroy, throw down, build, and plant. That's pretty aggressive stuff right there. And so he didn't have an easy assignment. But think about it. Doing right isn't always easy. In fact, doing right most of the time isn't easy. Sometimes we need to state what is true and right, even if it isn't popular. So my question is to all of us, are we willing to be used of God like Jeremiah? So Jeremiah had a call, but then I want to talk about Jeremiah's comfort. And if I was to put myself in Jeremiah's shoes, I think I'd probably be a little bit skeptical. How are you going to use me, Lord? I'm nobody great. What are you going to accomplish through my life? And I'm reminded of that video we watched last night, for those of you that were here, that God can use people mightily. But I'll tell you the thing I took away from that video last night. Some of them people were too stuck on themselves. And it was about me doing something big for God. I didn't hear a lot of statements of God using me, but rather me going and doing something. Now, granted, God, it was a powerful movie, but it really stood out to me. We need to ask God to use us, not run before God with our plan. Apparently, okay, so back up a second. When I read through this chapter, I often viewed like the first, up until what I just finished reading, was kind of the point where I cut it off, and that was the encouragement part to me. And I never really viewed the rest of the chapter as and encouragement as well. But apparently, the Lord knew Jeremiah needed more evidence that he would be anointing his ministry. And so that's why we have verses 11 through whatever the end of the chapter verse is. So God gave Jeremiah two pictures to illustrate some very important truths. And I want to look at each one of these separately. 11 and 12 is the first one. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. Now, an almond tree is called a waker tree because it is the first to blossom in the spring. It's also known as a watcher tree because it watched for the coming of spring. So what God was telling Jeremiah was that this almond tree was indicative, and it was a sure thing to bud quickly. So it was indicative that whatever Jeremiah preached was going to come about quickly. The second picture the Lord showed Jeremiah starts in verse 13. And the word of the Lord came to me the second time, saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot, and it is facing away from the north. Then the Lord said to me, out of the north calamity shall break forth on all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all the families of the kingdoms of the north, says the Lord. They shall come, and each one set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all its walls all around, and against all the cities of Judah. I will utter my judgments against them concerning all their wickedness, because they have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. The second picture is of a boiling pot facing away from the north. It is raised and tilted so that the boiling water is pouring south. I think this is prophetic to show us the north is a better place to live than down south. I think that's what that means. But what the Lord was showing Jeremiah with this boiling pot was Babylon was going to pour down like boiling water and set up their armies at the gates of Jerusalem. And then God's judgment would come. And through these pictures, Jeremiah was able to take comfort in knowing that even though his message wasn't going to be pleasant, he could rest assured that it was going to come to pass just as God told him it would. Now, what can we take from this? I think we can be assured that whatever we share from God's word to other people is accurate, and it will come to pass. We're living in a day where God's word is watered down, diluted, and made to fit each person's own agendas and preferences and opinions. And it even goes farther than that, because today we're seeing people making God's word fit their own perverse moral values and turning it so God's word blesses this. It doesn't work that way. What God's word says is accurate, and it can't be manipulated. There is a great balance between grace and truth, and we saw that exemplified in the life of Jesus. But we need to be sure that we don't water down the truth so much that anything goes. If we can learn anything from this portion, maybe we can learn that sharing God's word in love is so important, and if we're doing that, we're doing it right, even if it isn't popular. And then I want to look at Jeremiah's conquest. In the last three verses of this first chapter in the book of Jeremiah, we find God's final pep talk. It's like a coach's pep talk to the team. God's final pep talk with Jeremiah. I'm going to split these up into three. So 17 says, therefore, prepare yourself and arise, and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed by their faces, lest I dismay you before them. God is telling Jeremiah, get to work. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to speak the truth, because I'll be with you, and you won't be weak before them. Do you know what most of the problem is in our churches today? No one wants to get to work. Let somebody else do it. If we're to make a difference in the world, then we need to get to work. We need to do something. God has called us to be ambassadors for him, and the question is, are we fulfilling that call? It's going to look different for every person, but are we fulfilling that? I'm sure Jeremiah had his struggles, like we already discussed. Like him, we'll likely have many questions and struggles as well. But there are so many promises in Scripture about God being with us and God protecting us and God going before us. But do you know when he'll especially be with us? When we're sharing his love and his message to the world. And God gave Jeremiah another promise in the last two verses of this chapter. 18 and 19. For behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar, and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against its princes, against its priests, and against the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. God's telling Jeremiah, you will face obstacles. You will face enemies. But I will be by your side the whole way. If you believe that being a Christian is easy, then I'm not sure where you're at. Because being a Christian isn't always easy. There's tough decisions to make. You try to share the truth, you may be ridiculed for it. There may be those that try to stop you. The truth of God's word, the truth with a capital T, isn't popular because everyone wants to follow their own truth. But we can take this promise from the Lord that he'll be with us, especially when we tell others about him. So follow Jeremiah's example and get to work, because you will know because of this passage that God is with you. That was the call of God to Jeremiah. And later he'd need to remember these words. In fact, if you read through the book of Jeremiah, you'll see this is true. Many times Jeremiah must have recalled God's call and remembered his calling and the promises he gave, because in the eyes of the world, Jeremiah would have been considered a failure. I found an article by a Jewish rabbi, and here is part of what he said. I want to read it to you. Just kind of talking about how Jeremiah failed. He failed to convince his contemporaries not to rebel against Babylon. He failed to save Jerusalem from destruction. And he is best remembered as a sorrowing prophet who mourns the destruction. Indeed, in English, his name gave rise to the term for a bitter lament, a Jeremiad. Like Job, Jeremiah curses the day he was born. The burden he carries as a prophet who admonishes people who refuse to listen is unbearable. Several attempts are made on his life. He is sentenced to death and barely escapes execution. He is considered a traitor by the king and his counselors, by the priests, by self-styled prophets, as well as by ordinary people. He can count his friends on one hand. Aside from his loyal scribe, he only has one constant friend, namely God. No other prophet in the Hebrew Bible has more intimate or passionate relationship with God than Jeremiah. It is this relationship that keeps him going and keeps him alive. That is powerful. He was nothing without God. But isn't that what we all should be? We are nothing without God. True greatness is not success in what the world calls success. True greatness is being faithful to God's call on your life. My question is, are we obeying? Stand with me, please. Lord, we praise you for your word and what we can learn and glean. I pray that you'll help each one of us